As you can see by your handouts, we're going to be studying together tonight about being lukewarm, about being neither hot nor cold. But actually what we want to be is hot. Let it be hot, not lukewarm or cold, don't we? Revelation 3, 14 through 22, the letter to the church at Laodicea. And he says in verse 15, I know that you're neither cold nor hot. He goes on to say, I wish you were cold or hot. God would rather us be cold. He would rather us be antagonistic toward Him than to be lukewarm. But some of the things it's not the first time and it won't be the last time that we talk about this topic. This is an important topic. You know, most of the time, we like to consider ourselves to be in the middle of things. When it comes to intelligence, we are a smart person in the world, but we also don't want the dumbest either. We like to think that we're pretty average when it comes to intelligence. We're middle of the world. We're smart as the next fella, so to speak. Well, when it comes to money, we like to think of ourselves that way too. We like to put ourselves in the middle. We don't like to think of ourselves as rich, but we don't like to think of ourselves as poor either. We like to be in the middle. And we, you know, the most kind of proves us to be placed in, but we can kind of the lower middle class, or I'm in the, and we play with that so that we don't feel like we're either too rich or too poor. You know, we feel like Solomon, give me neither poverty nor riches. And then, of course, when it comes to psychological things, we like to consider ourselves normal. We don't like to think of ourselves as crazy at either extreme, do we? Even if sometimes we have to admit we do crazy things, we say, well, you know, I'm not crazy. I just do crazy things every once in a while. We like to think of ourselves as pretty normal, right in the middle. The same thing is to be said of most things. What about in politics? Most of the time people like to think of, well, I'm pretty moderate. I'm not liberal. I'm not too conservative. I'm in the middle on these things. In religion, people try to think the same way. I'm not too liberal. I'm not too conservative. I'm in the middle. Everybody else is either too far to the left or right for me. I'm in the middle. That's the way we generally think about things. In fact, we like to think of ourselves as moderate things. And we might even scripture for that because we say, Philippians 4 or 5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Well, what about our Christianity? Are we average? Are we in the middle? Can you get to heaven on a C average as a Christian? Is that okay just to be kind of average? Or does God want more than that? Is He satisfied with mediocre Christians? I have a feeling as we look at the Scriptures, and particularly here in Revelation 3, what God is looking for is not mediocrity. It's not what He wants. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He doesn't want us to be in the middle of the pack. He wants us to excel. He wants us to be on fire for Him. And yet, to most of us, it's kind of scary. Because only the real fanatics are really on fire for Jesus. Only what some people call the Jesus freaks are the ones. They're weird. And I don't want to be. I couldn't fit in with my friends if I was weird like that. Water down our fire a little bit. And when we get it to a nice little smolder, we think, well, now, you know, that won't produce too much attention. It won't send out any big smoke signals, and then there won't be big flames for people to see. It's okay. And nobody else really noticed, and that'll be okay. But the fact of the matter is, God wants fire. Are you one of the many who are looking for the narrow gate to life and yet won't find it? Did you realize there was a group of people who are looking but aren't going to find it? Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Enter in the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." He didn't say that there were only a few who looked for it. There are only a few who found it. He doesn't tell us how many people there are that kind of looked for it, but didn't really make a diligent enough search to actually find it. My wife, on our last trip, before we went on our trip, she found this new craze of hers, her new obsession. And you've got to follow directions. It's kind of like a treasure hunt. And if I know we had, because we had gone to some of the very same places in Gatlinburg on our last trip and didn't know that we were walking right past these things, and this time we knew where they were. And it's the times with times we've got to remove some old ways where we can see the truth clearly. Maybe we've removed some and we think we've got enough out of the way. But maybe there's still some of those old ways of thinking hanging on in our minds that we don't even realize. Maybe we think that we can just go along cruising on the road and that will be good enough. Pray, be a witness, or repent. And the more I thought about it, the more time. So I decided to rest in the Lord instead. And that's what a lot of times we do. There's so much to do that we just get tired thinking about it, so we just decide to rest a little bit. But we need to be thinking about how we can find that narrow gate. To do that, we've got to be on fire for the Lord. We may be part of that group in Matthew 7, 21 through 27, who was calling Jesus Lord, Lord, and just not doing what He said. If that's the case, then we're not on fire for the Lord either. We're just lukewarm. I was listening on the radio, and a fellow described many people as Christians. And I think we've got a lot of those in our society. They've gone through enough of the birth that they call themselves Christians, and they know the names that they're, you know, they know, well, I'm supposed to be a Christian. They know, but they haven't followed through with the new birth process, and they haven't been born again. They're kind of partial birth Christians. They're the kinds of Christians who actually maybe have been aborted along the birth process somewhere and didn't realize it. We've got to watch out for that kind of an attitude in our lives of getting to the point where we know we want Jesus to be Lord of our lives, and we even say He is, and we call Him Lord, but we don't live like He's actually our Lord and Master. The Master's will for this I pray, whatever it may be. I do not want to miss your best. Reveal it, Lord, to me. My own desires may lead me wrong. I must consult my God. His counsel will be justified in all the way I've trod. O soul of mine, delight in Him. His word discern, obey. The plan you seek to know will then unfold from day to day. We do not live our lives alone. If I'm in God's will, the lives of others will be helped His purpose to fulfill. My all, O Lord, I give to You. My body, mind, and soul. May all the days that lie ahead be under Your control. But the lukewarm Christian says, no, not all, only Sundays. The rest of the days I'll keep to myself. Maybe Wednesdays. We can't be lukewarm Christians. Are you denying yourself and taking up your cross and following Jesus? That's what the 23-25 says, if a man desires to save his life, he'll lose it. Who will find it, will save it. Roman coin was found with a picture of an ox on it. Ox and a plow. And the inscription read, the sacrifice on the altar or the labor long years on the farm. And we've got to be ready for this too. God may cause us to go or give you the way. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Because if we're on fire for the Lord, we're going to live well. 12 and verse 30. This is the first commandment. The Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Amen. The story listed on your pages about the believers during the Korean War, the soldiers that came in with machines, told them to deny Jesus, told them to spit on that picture of Him. And the one girl wouldn't do it. She wouldn't curse Him. She wouldn't deny Him. The soldier took her and the others out in the back, and they heard three gunshots. And the girl came in. The others didn't. Those soldiers said, "Anyone against the belief that isn't meant to be, we're ready to Christianity is the communist, and the communist isn't the fascist. It's not anything but issue what's God. Does our but we will have. We want that. We want to give that. You want to say, first of all, keep our out, so we just lay to a resident here. Not know that. Now, it's, there's, 50 points. It's not like that. Peter tells us, even it's not God it made, it's something that we've got to understand. One of the passengers was a Marxist revolutionary on his way to India. The Marxist quizzed the preacher at length about his faith. Finally he said, "How can you be a Christian? Do you realize there's no way your cause can win?" "What do you mean by win?" the preacher asked. The Marxist said, "I'm on a way to India to organize something to lay on my preoccupied with what your God can do for you, and dying for self-interest is a contradiction in terms. Die in think of it. Has to give its life in order to give the flame that heats the fire. The world has to give its life in order to burn to keep the warmth of the fire going. What about us? Are we willing to sacrifice to lives to keep the fires of Christianity burning? Or is that too much to be asked? I know your work or cold. I wish you our lives each and every day. If we live the Lord, it becomes more difficult for some to longer we are Christians. Without some, that fire is to die out, isn't it? A fire has to constantly have some energy to consume in order to keep burning. And sometimes we begin the Christian life with so much fire and so much zeal, but we just burned out. We need to, as the song says, revive that fire. Revive the spirit. Rekindle those flames. Stir it up again. That's why in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10, the Hebrew writer tells us to admonish one another, to stir one another up, to spur one another on. He uses these kinds of terminology. So we're going to stir each other up. We're going to flame ourselves back up again. You ever seen a fire that was dwindling down? And sometimes all it'll take is a stick, and you just stir it up and one another, the love and good works. Stir it up again. Get that fire going. If you're feeling cold, fire is dying out, stir each other up a little bit. Maybe you can give each other some energy to keep that fire going. I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast and I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. And my future is secure. I am finished and done. Presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let go, or slow up until I've preached up, prayed up, paid up, stored up, and stayed up for the cause of Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till He stops. And when He comes to get His own, He'll have no problems recognizing me. My colors will be clear. You have that powerful poem, if you want to call it that. There's somebody who knew what they wanted to say. Didn't have anything to say. We need to realize that when Jesus comes back, He better recognize us. It better be clear. On, because if we're halfway, He'll probably throw us back. The story is told of a man and his small son taking a walk. In the far corner of the field, they found a small patch of beautiful and fragrant flowers. They were in the middle of weeds and almost completely hidden and unnoticed. Yet these flowers were full of beauty. And they sense their fresh fragrance. All of us have met persons unnoticed by many, but who in the middle of struggle and unlikely surroundings, far from the center of attention, live lives of beauty and fragrance. And living lives which seemed obscure, they faithfully fulfilled God's will for them. God's question on the last day will not be, how much were you noticed? Or necessarily even how much did you do. But His question will be, were you faithful in fulfilling My will where I placed you? Think about what Jesus did. In His adult life, He never traveled more than 30 miles from His hometown. That means He never went as far as Meridian is from us tonight. He never went that far. And yet here, almost 2,000 years after His death, He is one of the most widely recognized individuals in the world. How is that? It's quite simple. He did God's will correctly. completely where he was. What he was supposed to do. If we do what we're supposed to do, oh no, we won't be preached about in 2,000 years as being saviors of the world, because that's what God called on him to do. Fortunately for us, God hasn't asked us to be saviors of the world, only to tell others about the Savior of the world. Doesn't seem nearly as hard in comparison, does it? If you're here tonight, if your fire is burning low, if you're cooling off, going on around us, maybe we need to warm up a little bit. Let the light of the sun rekindle your fire. And I'm not talking about the sun in the sky. Remind you what it is you're living for. What it is you're supposed to be on fire for. As the love of many will. Paul told Timothy, the love of many. You heard your man. Invitation for any reason, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.